Praise be to God. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible here. We study the Bible and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. By the grace of God, we've been able to do 22 books of the Bible. And if you've not been able to listen to all the podcasts we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can find them on all podcast platforms, that is Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, Deezer, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, name it, you'll find us there. And I believe the Lord shall speak to you as you listen, because there's no limitation to revelation. God reveals His word to everybody who shows the need, to everyone who wants Him to speak to them. He will speak to you. He will speak to you as you listen. He will speak to you as you read. He'll bring new revelation, because His word is new every morning. Every morning, the Lord speaks to you. You might read something today and you come back next week, and when you read it, there is a new message for you, because the word of the Lord is living. It is alive. Yeah, it's not dead. So you can go back, listen. I believe the Lord shall bless you. We are now handling the book of Isaiah, and we've done 49 chapters. Today I want us to continue with chapter 50 of the book of Isaiah, which starts by saying, "Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of divorce by which I have sent your mother away? All to whom of my creditors did I sell you? Behold, you were sold for your iniquities, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away." Now, you can get reference of this, what is being told to them in Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 8, which says, "And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, and I put her away, and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also." So it's a case of transgressions, iniquities, not walking with the Lord, that this fell on them. Yeah, that they were sold for their iniquities and they are sent away, in the sort of that is related to a divorce here. And says, "Why was there no man when I came? When I called, why was there none to answer? Is my hand so short that it cannot ransom? Or have I no power to deliver?" And these are questions that also come to me as well. They come to you as well. Is God's hand so short that He cannot ransom? Is God's hand so short that He cannot help you? Is God's hand so short that He cannot come to your rescue, that He cannot deliver you? Is it that He has no power to deliver you? Those are questions that come to us as well. You know, with all the things that happen in life, you feel sometimes like you are alone. But God asks, "Are you saying I have no power to take you out of that debt? Are you saying I have no power to pick you out of that abuse that you're going through?" In whichever place it is, it might be in your family. You know, sometimes families also abuse and are abusers, and they take you through difficult moments. But God says, "I have power to deliver you." Yeah? I says, "Behold, I dry up the sea with my rebuke. I make rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make a sackcloth their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word." Now, this is a message that comes out to you as a disciple, because they say the tongue of a disciple sustains with a word. It helps the weary one with the word. If I'm a disciple of Christ, and that's what I say, and that's what the Bible says I am, same as everybody that is listening to me today and Christians at large, if we are disciples of Christ, and here we are told about the tongue of disciples and what it brings forth a word that sustains the weary one, a word that encourages a weary one, a word that comforts those in need. So that goes down to the words that I say, and my speech. How is it? Is it that of a disciple? Is it that which brings hope? Or it's one, after you've spoken, people feel like they should hide. After you've spoken, people feel like they are useless. After you've spoken, people feel like they are nothing. Is that the word that comes out of you? That shouldn't be the case, because as a disciple, the tongue of a disciple brings forth words that build. A tongue of a disciple brings forth words that encourage, that lift up, that take others on a level of belief and faith that God actually is there for them. And here he says he's been given that tongue of a disciple, that he will be able to speak words that sustain those who are weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Another thing comes out there for a disciple, being able to listen. Yeah, the Lord has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will all wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. The message is out there. Everyone who is living a life that is worldly, a life of darkness, your hope is to go to the Lord. And here he says, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on God. Don't rely on your own understanding. Don't rely on your wealth. Don't rely on the fact that you are the best in your class. Don't rely on the fact that your family is well off. No, rely on the Lord. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, who walk in the light of your fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze, this you will have from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you are hewn, and to the quarry from which you are dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When he was but one, I called him, then I blessed him and multiplied him. Here, they are talking to Israel, because it's from them that Abraham and Sarah are the parents that they are talking about here. And it says, I blessed and multiplied them. Remember, you remember all the saga about Abraham and Sarah, the failure to give birth, and eventually God comes out to them, and through them a nation is born. You know, troubled moments or troubled times such as that Sarah went through can bring forth huge results. For a woman who took so many years to give birth, gives birth at 90, and from her comes a huge nation. You know, some things take long. But when the Lord opens the door, when the Lord determines and says, this is your time, you will spring forth and you will catch up. Yeah? It doesn't appear like if you're at 90 and you've given birth to a child that your generation can grow. Those to come can grow and multiply in huge numbers. But it does happen, because God knows how to do it. He knows how to redeem time. Now, has your success taken long to come forth? Do you look at your life and you feel like you're not progressing? A day will come when that door will be opened and you'll walk a path of success. It doesn't matter how old you are and how long it has taken. God can multiply you, because you just need his blessing. And that's what he puts upon Abraham and Sarah. Because he blessed them, they were able to multiply to the thousands and thousands of Israelites that we see here. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will make all her waste places. He will comfort all her waste places. and her wilderness he will make like Eden. Yeah, he's practically saying that which didn't look good, he will make like the Garden of Eden, and her desert like the Garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and sound of a melody. Pay attention to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For a law will go forth from me, and I'll set my justice for a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait for me, and for my arm they will wait expectantly. Remember, we said, when they're talking coastlands here, they speak about the Gentiles, other nations that are not Israel itself, and says, lift up your eyes to the sky, then look to the earth beneath, for the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not wane. This earth will go. This earth on which we think everything matters, one day shall be no more. And all that will matter is salvation and the righteousness. Because those, he said, they will not wane. They will not go out. That's why I work on my salvation daily, and I make sure when destruction is coming, I'm not part of those that are destroyed with the earth, but rather I am in the arms of the Lord. And says, listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings, for the moth will eat them like a garment, and the grub will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces? Who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep? Who made the depth of the sea a pathway for the redeemed to cross over? This is the case of the Red Sea, when the Israelites are living there, in the place of living Egypt. So the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, and everlasting joy will be made on their heads. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, and of the son of man who is made like grass, that you have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you fear continually all day long because of the fury of the oppressor, as he makes ready to destroy? But where is the fury of the oppressor? You know, we fear men and forget to fear God. That's what he's trying to bring out here. And says the exile will soon be set free, and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered you in the shadow of my hand, to establish the heavens, to found the earth, and to say to Zion, you are my people. There is confidence that always comes to God's people. He tells them, you are mine. You don't belong to anybody else. You are mine. And he says, rouse yourself. Arise, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the Lord's hand the cup of his anger, the chalice of reeling, you have drained to the dregs. This is one. There is none to guide her among all the sons she has born, nor is there one to take her by hand among all the sons she has reared. These two things have befallen you. Who will mourn for you? The devastation and destruction, famine and sword. Who shall comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie helpless at the head of every street, like an antelope in the net, full of the wrath of the Lord, the rebuke of your God. Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted, who are drunk, but not with wine. Thus says the Lord, even your God who contends for his people, behold, I have taken out of your hand the cup of reeling, the chalice of my anger. You will never drink it again. I'll put it into the hand of your tormentors, who have said to you, lie down that we may walk over you. You have even made your back like the ground, like the street, for those to walk over. It is giving confidence to the people of Zion, to his people. and saying, yes, your captors have tortured you, but now you didn't believe in me. You didn't listen to my commands. You didn't walk with me, and I brought this cup of suffering in your hand. But I'm taking it away from you and handing it over to your captors who have treated you in all ways. But now I'm going to bring rescue to you. I'm going to bring hope to you. That's what he's telling his people. You know, all times of trouble come to an end. Times of depression come to an end. Times of pain come to an end. Everything that makes your life terrible at one point will come to an end. You just need to wait on the Lord and believe in him. As these people are struggling with their captors, they keep wondering, will God come out for us? But God does promise to come out for them. And that's a promise he makes. And he says in chapter 52, awake, awake, clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come into you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you'll be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to reside there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away without cause? Yeah, they suffered in Egypt. The Assyrians also come and take them captive later on. And again, the Lord declares, those who rule over them whole, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. Because when someone has captured you, they laugh at you. They talk about your God as one who is powerless. You know, they would laugh at them, say, how come we've taken you captive? If your God is so strong, why didn't he defend you? And that is what God is talking about here, that they blaspheme his name all day long. Yeah. And says in verse 6, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen, lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy in the sight of all nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch nothing unclean. Go out in the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord, but you will not go out in haste, nor will you go out as fugitives, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. However much Israel has suffered, however much Israel has gone through a difficult time in captivity, God still promises them that they will have good days ahead. And that's what we've been saying. However much you've had troubled times, God promises that you'll have good days ahead. Believe in him. And says, behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. Of course, here they talk about the servant who we see as Christ, that when he comes, he will be beyond all. The salvation that is to come to them now. But even there is that which Isaiah is talking about, which is to come for them. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up. Chapter 53, it says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has not stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men. a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. We are talking about the Lord himself here. And he continues and says that smitten of our God and afflicted, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we were healed. That is what Jesus does for me. That is what Jesus does for you. He was crushed for your iniquities. He was pierced for your transgressions. Somebody who comes and goes through trouble for your sake. What love is that? What kind of love is that? Yet we as men forget him, forsake him, don't consider him. Yet he left the heavenly places to come. And Isaiah here talks about him and says he does that. He goes through that. He's scourged. And through that you receive your healing. When you're sick, you look to the one that was beaten, the one that was afflicted for your case, and you're healed. When you're going through moments where you feel like all hope is gone, you look to him who was scourged, who was afflicted, who was crushed for your iniquities, and that is Jesus, because he did that all for you. And he goes on and says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us to fall to him, to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the strokes was due, his grave was assigned with wicked men. Yet he was a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. That's what makes him rich. No violence, no deceit. Yeah? And he says, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would not, he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Jesus does that for you and me. He takes our sin. He takes all the blame. He takes it all. For him is pure. He's without sin. And there are lots of debates and discussions about how was he a man and he did not sin. And it's possible, because the Bible says it, that he was without guilt, yet he takes it on. And God promises a reward for the one that was able to come and do that, his only son. And we shall see it in time to come, because he has come out to take death on our behalf and give us life. For somebody who does not have Christ in their life, their life is a mess. There is no hope. We need hope. We need to know that there is hope laid out for us for eternal life. And Christ has presented us. All that I need to do is believe in him and walk with him. He took all the shame. He took all the beating. He took all the sin on my behalf. And I just need to enjoy that beat of salvation that he brings forth to me. So, Isaiah, in this chapter 53, he comes out to speak about Christ who is to come, and that which he will go through, and everything that he will stand for. He even speaks of his death on the cross. And that brings Isaiah as one of the major and great prophets that were, because he sees that Christ who is to come, and he speaks about him and what he'll go through and how he will be there for mankind to take on all their burdens and all their sin for their salvation. What a love, what grace that is. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child, break forth into joyful singing and shouting, and cry aloud, you who have not travailed, for the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge your the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. And your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. And do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of the widowhood you remember no more. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In an outburst of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting loving kindness I'll have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah would not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you, O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted. Behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations will lay in sapphires. And he says, moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies, and your gate of crystal, and your entire wall of precious stones. All your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-beings of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. There's a promise here he makes to his people. Terror won't come to you. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I have created the smith who blows fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work, he says, and I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. That is my heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against the servants of God shall prosper. That is a promise from the Lord himself. He says, even when they set a trap, it shall not touch you. Even when they plot evil for you, you shall not be overcome. Because no weapon set against the servants of God. And that is the heritage he has given the servants of the Lord. Are you a servant of God? Are you a servant of the Lord? Because that applies to his servants. I'll come out and mention all those things and speak all the promises God has made. But if I am not walking with him, if I am not serving him, if I'm not doing that which he tells me to do, some of these may not apply perfectly. He says, every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. God has protection he brings to his children. God has a fence that he puts around his people and says, these ones you will not touch. They are mine. You will not afflict. They are mine. You will not attack. They are mine. And that's the confine which we go through. And what's the access point? Christ himself. Christ Jesus. Accepting him as your Lord and Savior puts you in that fence where all things are safe, where you're under the protection of the Almighty God that the enemy cannot come and attack you. The enemy cannot come and hit you, because God always puts a fence around you, puts protection over you. Access is Christ himself. He was scourged for you. He was beaten for you. He was pierced for you. And his grace is abundant. You just need to come and take it. In the past, they made sacrifices of animals to take away sin. But Jesus came as the one and only sacrifice, the Son of God, that he was put on the cross and he was killed. And he died for you and for me. And the grace has been abundant for us. We only need to believe in him and we shall be saved. You will not be a sinner anymore with Christ in your life. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation. And we pray, Lord, that you keep on speaking more and more to us, bringing your word closer to our hearts and also helping us transform our lives to live the lives that you desire from us. We exalt you and we give you glory and honor. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for accepting to be the sacrifice for us. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.